I'm Algernon Cash, and you're locked in. We are in the closing days of Black History Month, and so this is when everybody gets excited about Black excellence, and everyone wants to figure out where, you know, what Black-owned business they can get out and make sure they support. You still have time to be able to do that. But I also argue that you should not limit your consumption of Black-owned businesses to 28 or 29 days out of the year. This should be something that you're thinking about all year long, just like when you think about supporting any locally owned business all year long. But I wanted to invite my good friend Tamora Jeffries, who is the founder of the Buy Black Guide. And she's going to talk a little bit about Black-owned businesses and how to navigate that space, because I know so many of you will say, man, I don't know where to go. I don't know which business to go to. And Tamora has sort of solved that problem for you. Tamora, thank you for locking in. How are you today?
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. I'm well. Hope you are too.
I am. I guess, you know, let's just start there. You know, I know you and I had an opportunity to meet last year over the summer at some point. I was not familiar with the Buy Black Guide, even though you've done a really great job promoting it and getting it in so many different places and spaces. So let's start there. Tell my audience about the Buy Black Guide, why you founded it, and, you know, what resource does it provide?
Absolutely. So the Buy Black Guide is a Black business directory that I founded Juneteenth 2020 during a pandemic. As we all can remember, it was a rough time. You know, we had George Floyd, we had COVID, it was a lot of things. And so I wanted to use my creativity and my drive for community impact to create a resource that keeps people connected and we can support Black-owned businesses. So it started with a Facebook post. I was like, hey, I want to create something. List your favorite Black-owned business. So we launched with 100 Black-owned businesses. And since then, the growth has just been amazing. On top of our online directory, we also have an engaging social media. We have weekly newsletters, in addition to our in-person events. And then we also do a segment on WXII where we get to spotlight Black-owned businesses. So now we're like an umbrella of all these things promoting Black-owned businesses.
You know, I recall 2020, and you're right. I mean, there was a lot going on that year, certainly with COVID happening. That was having an impact on everybody's business and everybody's life, no matter, you know, what color you are, or what race you belong to. And, you know, certainly the not just George Floyd, but we had a lot of incidents, you know, that year. It's a shame somebody had to die for people to start thinking about supporting Black owned businesses. You know, what's been the reception of this guide since you've created it? And then how has the landscape for Black owned businesses evolved since you started in 2020?
Yeah, I mean, the reception has been amazing. I mean, I knew it was, I mean, I wanted to create it, but I didn't think I realized how much of a need it was. Immediately after launching it, it just kind of got picked up locally from multiple media outlets and things like that. And so it grew kind of fast. And our registries kind of grew overnight as well. People were registering their business because they were trying to find ways to get their business out there as well. And, you know, as small business owners, Black business owners, exposure is everything, because if people don't know where to find you, how can they support you? The reception has definitely been amazing. I'm super thankful that I even followed that, you know, that voice that was like, create this thing, right? Because it not only impacts me, it was a passion project turned business, it impacts all the businesses that are under our umbrella and part of our BBG family.
You know, oftentimes I get concerned, like when a major event happens, like the George Floyd incident and some of the things that were happening in 2020, I always feel like it might be short-lived. It's like people might get excited about it, you know, when it's happening, because everyone wants to figure out what can I do to help, or what can I do to demonstrate that I support the minority community. But it sounds like the reception that you got to the guide when you created in 2020, you feel like that same reception is still happening 5 years later. You feel like people are still embracing what you're doing.
I do. I think if people were intentional about supporting from the beginning, they're still intentional now. I think we just kind of needed that launch. And it's so unfortunate, like you said, somebody had to die for us to kind of activate. But I mean, since then, I feel like we're just rolling. And I honestly say our community is made up of people that support Black-owned businesses outside of Black History Month. I love the Black History Month support. I really do. But I feel like we have to support all year, October, November, December, you know? I think the reception and the community that we fostered has been amazing.
Now, I had no idea until I think it was last year, and I think it's August is actually Black Business Month. Which I had no idea of. You taught and educated me on that last year. We ended up collaborating on an event last year because of that. What are you doing to help people understand that this concept of supporting local and this concept of supporting Black-owned businesses locally? What are you doing to make sure people are thinking about that 365 days a year and not just those two bookend months out of the year?
Yeah, for sure. Just being real active on social media. Everybody has their phone in their hand, right? All the time. So keeping people active, engaged on social media with posts, with features, celebrating grand openings, celebrating expansion, sharing stories of these entrepreneurs, really connecting. So then that drives that support, right? Like I said, our newsletter, we get a little deeper there and really just pull the curtain back. So entrepreneur to entrepreneur, we can kind of understand those struggles too. So I think it's, really, my brand is hyper focused on Black-owned businesses. So whatever way that I can help amplify those businesses, that's what I do for sure.
Do you feel like just traditionally and organically Black-owned or even just minority-owned businesses, do you just feel like they get less attention, less exposure, less visibility? And if so, why?
I do, and I'm not sure why, but I mean, there's studies out there that show that if Black-owned businesses gain the same amount of support as their counterparts, then we would have, larger profit margins, right? There's so much red tape and barriers that Black-owned businesses have to fight through, and I'm thankful for opportunities and resources out here in the Triad, particularly that kind of equipped us. Over the this past month, the Women's Business Center and SG Atkins Enterprise Center hosted a Black Business Access to Summit. Access to Capital Summit. And so that was the opportunity to get in the room with these loan advisors, these creditors, and just kind of learn how to get your business structured to get that support and capital, because there are so many hurdles that we face. But I think it's important to get in the room, get the resources, and learn how to kind of combat that, because we know they're there, but I mean, we have to, learn how to equip ourselves.
So you mentioned that there's so many hurdles and red tape that, minority-owned businesses have to go through. Tell me a little bit about that. Educate us here. What is some of that red tape? What are some of those additional hurdles that my audience just may not be aware of?
For sure, because for many of us, we're first generation business owners. So we're kind of just jumping out there and trying it and see what happens, right? So sometimes we might not have our business structured the correct way. Sometimes that side hustle is making money, but do you have things formulated? So then when we try to get those loans and things are just not structured the right way. And so then we have to kind of have that upward battle where our counterparts probably already kind of have that knowledge. They have that person in their family that owned a business before they can kind of learn from. And then we just look at, support. I mean, we have to put, support Black-owned businesses because for some reason we have to fight a little harder. People are more inclined, I feel like, to shop differently. So if we kind of make sure, support Black-owned businesses. We have products and services that are just as amazing as everybody else. And I think it's important to make sure our voice is heard, because sometimes we can kind of get, buried under the clutter. And so I think right now, I think there's a surge of Black-owned business just standing up and being like, hey, I'm here. I have a great product and you should support me. And I think the battles that we are fighting, I think we're all learning together. That's what I will say. I think there's a community of business owners teaching each other. Like, hey, this was my experience. If you want to learn from me, I think there's a really great community of people just kind of teaching each other, which I also love because you don't know what you don't know.
I like the point that you just made about because I talk about this within real estate all the time that there are no real physical barriers or no barriers at all that's keeping anyone out of the real estate business. If you want to be in the real estate business, you can get in this business. However, if you didn't grow up in a family that understands real estate, or you didn't come up around people that were in the real estate business, you oftentimes will be more challenged because there's just information that you won't have access to, and certain things that you have to learn that maybe your counterpart already knows because they came from a family that's owned real estate for the last 50 years or whatever. And I think that's also true with entrepreneurship. I mean, if you came up in a family or in an environment where entrepreneurship wasn't necessarily celebrated or talked about a lot, or you don't quite understand it, you will be disadvantaged, and not because those things are inaccessible to you, but they just don't come to you as easy as they may come, you know, to your white counterpart who does come up in a family and in a household where they're constantly hearing this kind of, you know, information. So is the Buy Black Guide involved in any kind of training related to some of these skills that these businesses need? Or are you mostly just centered around marketing and creating the visibility for these minority-owned businesses?
So we like to be a connector. We like to connect people to the resources. As I mentioned before, this is a passion project turned business of mine. So while I equip my team to teach and train these resources, I'm all about connecting. So I make sure that our brand is connected with organizations that have these things in place, and then we share those out. So we kind of do a couple things. We market your business, but we also market those organizations that have the resources so you can tap in with them.
And does the business, are they becoming like a member of the directory? Is there a like a membership fee? Like what does that look like? If I'm listening to this conversation today and I've got a black owned business and I want to engage with your guide, what would that look like for me?
For sure. So we do have a membership tier. So you can get started for 99 cents. That gets you a directory listing, customizable photo, social media, website link, all the things. And then it also just allows you to join our community. So that gives you perks and access to particular things. But you can just engage with on social media. You don't have to be a business owner. You can be an ally. Just kind of supporting and sharing the things is a way to get tapped in. We also have more of a tiered membership that just gives you a little bit more perks, gives you a little bit more promotional opportunities for your brand. So we don't want to limit people. We kind of have it. You can like start, like dip your toe in, see what it's about, or you can like fully invest and kind of take advantage of all our services. So,
well, 99 cent. I mean, that's a very low barrier to entry. I mean, so if you're listening to this conversation and you own a business, And I mean, you want to get some more visibility. I mean, 99 cent will probably be the best investment that you could ever make. How many businesses do you currently have? And like what kind of categories would I see if I went to your directory?
So of course, you got to have food, right? Yeah. Okay. And then you have clothing, you have hair care, skin care, health and wellness. So we have a little over 500 businesses right
now.
Wow. Yeah, it's amazing and so diverse. We have a lot of service-based business and product-based businesses, so it's a good mixture. What I like about our directory, you can search based on location. So anywhere you are in the triad or beyond, enter your zip code, you can kind of filter through businesses like that as well.
And they're all triad-based. Is that what I should understand? Or
We predominantly service the triad. That's the home team. But the directory is open to all Black-owned businesses. But we are intentional about the triad-based businesses because, again, there was just a need here to make sure we stay connected.
Well, I know I see you everywhere. I mean, I know you do a segment for WXII. We were talking about that off air before the show here today. You're all over social media and you do a terrific job there. And, you know, many of your videos often go viral. I know that you also host some events and collaborate on events. You've even collaborated with Eat Drink Triad, you know, on a number of occasions. For my audience that's listening that might be visual, tell us a story, Tamora. Help us understand, like visualize a story of a Black-owned business that you've helped. And maybe they got some traction because of all these various things that you do to try to bring visibility.
Absolutely. So, I mean, there's so many. No, I can't. But one that comes to mind, so one of our biggest events is our bridal show called the Black is Beautiful Bridal Show. And I partner with this catering company called Pretty Southern Catering. And so with that partnership, they have grown. They have been afforded new opportunities, new partnerships with other local organizations. By just collaborating with us and constantly getting their name out, that has been an amazing journey to watch. We also pop up at many of the grand openings. And so I'm a data-driven person. So like I'll see the follower account before we post and then I'll look at it after and the growth is like crazy. And so there's like so many, like I really can't even name them all. And I don't like say this like, you know, to brag about anything like that. But I think just the community we've built is very intentional about supporting. So when they see it's a new business or they see a business that's like out here doing great things, they want to support, they want to tap in and it's just like organic.
Now here's the question. Cause I you know, a lot of times when you're a new business, it's a lot easier to get people to come and show up for that big ribbon cutting. When you're a new restaurant, I tell every new restaurant owner, You're going to be terribly busy for probably the first 3 or 4 weeks. But a lot of times, tomorrow, it doesn't quite sustain. It doesn't go beyond that honeymoon phase. What is it that your organization does to make sure people are thinking about this stuff sustainably and not just because they get emotionally excited about it?
For sure. So outside of social media, we're just really intentional about sharing deeper stories. And because the Buy Black Guide is attached to many things, my strategy is if they tap into the Buy Black Guide, let me check out buyblackguide.com. They will see your business. I try to stay top of mind, hitting different points. So with the news, that's like the older generation, right? Then we have the social media for the younger generation. We have our newsletter for the readers. So I try to stay engaged and meet people where they are. And so I was speaking of our memberships and like our higher tier memberships gets you more posts. It gets you more a boost in your brand awareness, if you will. Because you're right, like that drive, you go viral on a video, you're getting all that. Everybody's so excited, and then it fades off because I've heard those stories too. But that's when I'm like, well, hey, let's just do it again. I think we just got to do it again, and just keep people excited about it because the product or service isn't changing, right? So I think just staying on top of mind. And I work with so many business owners that just don't have the time for social media. I think that's one of the things too. I think the era in digital marketing, it knows changing, and everybody has their phone in their hand. So I actually like to work one-on-one with business owners to keep their social media engaged and keep it up to date. So if somebody new finds you, it's not that one post, they're like seeing like what's behind the scenes. How is it getting it done? And I think people have to connect. And so I think keeping that connection with people, can be helpful.
Well, you're creating an entire BBG universe, between, local TV and social media and even, coming here on the show today, which I really appreciate as well.
I'm happy.
I could see someone listening to this conversation and saying, okay, we're in a post-racist America. Why do we need to talk about black-owned business, Hispanic-owned business, white-owned business? Why can't we just go support whatever business we want to support?
Because Black-owned businesses need the support, right? We need the support. When you support Black-owned businesses, you create jobs, right? You help build generational wealth. You help circulate the Black dollar. To be honest, we're a couple steps behind. So we're still trying to catch up. And so I think it's important that we amplify Black-owned businesses. I mean, we're just trying to catch up, And I think it takes us putting that extra work to kind of get there. And just being intentional. Intentionality is literally my word of the year. I've said like a million times since we've been on air, but it's real, just being intentional about where you spread your Where you spend your money. And there's so many things happening right now. And so it's like, it's really a good time to be intentional about your money.
Well, we've got a new administration in Washington, D.C. right now, and they are doing a number of things as they sort of overhaul government. At the same time, we've got a lot of large retailers out throughout the country, whether it's Target and Walmart and so many others that have said, they're doing away with these diversity, equity, and inclusion policies. They don't want to necessarily show any kind of preference to minority-owned business or majority-owned business. They just want to focus on business. They just want to sell stuff, and it doesn't matter to them if it's from a black manufacturer or a white manufacturer or whatever. They just want to sell you stuff. What's your reaction to really what I see? The big shift started occurring in 2020 when George Floyd lost his life. A lot of these companies and retailers started taking these initiatives more serious. Here, 5 years later, we're seeing them go in the opposite direction. What do you say to that? And then even to some of your audience that follow the Buy Black Guide and want to support black-owned businesses, what are you saying to them right now as you see the dismantling of so many of these DEI programs across the country?
Well, it's really disheartening, right? Because especially Target. Personally, I was kind of hurt, because we thought they were down, right? We thought y'all were really here for the cause. And so it was a little disheartening, but I think especially again with Target, it's so many Black-owned brands in Target that we've grown to love over the last couple of years. And I think it's still important to show up for those businesses. A lot of people are saying, well, hey, just sell on your website. Some businesses aren't set up to do that yet, right? So while they Because from my understanding, it was a big shock for them when a lot of these things got pulled out. So give them opportunity to kind of make that shift. But in the meantime, I think we still have to show up and support these Black-owned businesses. And again, be intentional about where we spend our money. I mean, there's so many companies that are pulling out that we use every day, right? Literally our phone, all the things. And so I think just being intentional and then just supporting where you can, supporting local. Right, buying from those mom and pop shops that are out here creating that generation of wealth. And I mean, and what I would say to my supporters is continue to advocate for Black-owned businesses, no matter where they are right now. Like, you know, honestly, because we still got to support them. You know, I don't think they knew when they signed that contract they would be here in 2025. I hate that a lot of brands are rushing to make these haste decisions, but I don't know. I feel like they feeling it a little bit because there has been some pullback from supporting some of these companies. And I mean, you know, I'm all about a boycott. So do what you will. But I'm still going to support these Black-owned businesses that are in these retailers for sure.
I was looking at some numbers from Target this morning, actually, and they are seeing less foot traffic and some less sales because of what's going on right now. I'm gonna tell you, my audience knows me, so you probably my audience knows where I'm getting ready to go with this. I'm not as optimistic that a boycott will be effective. I think a lot of these companies are so globally intertwined now that you not coming into the store for a day or two. They're going to report some down sales, some down foot traffic, but they're not going to be as harmed by it. Tomorrow I want to get your thoughts on this because when you look at consumerism, when you look at consumption, African Americans are the largest consumers in the country. I mean, we consume and buy more stuff than anyone. But yet, just in the course of our conversation today, you've talked about how actual black-owned businesses don't benefit from all the consumption and all the stuff that we buy. It's the brands like Target and Walmart and so many other ones that are actually benefiting. How much and when you think about what you do through the Buy Black Guide, how much educating do we really need to be given to black consumers? Yep, maybe part of it is raising the visibility of black-owned businesses. But how about just educating black consumers that number one, you don't have to buy everything known to man. And if you are going to buy it, if you are going to actually spend your money on it, you already have the power to promote, black-owned businesses.
Absolutely. And I think people are seeing that. You know, it takes these drastic shifts for us to kind of wake up in a sense and realize, I mean, consumerism is a lot. You know, I try not to even indulge in it. I mean, I have my things, but I also understand, like, you know, I don't really need that right now. And so I think, again, intentional about where we spend our money, how we spend our money, because we do have power in these dollars. And although like these corporations are kind of big and globally intertwined, I do feel as though the black dollar is super powerful. And if we hold back, the companies will feel it. Now, will they reenact everything and kind of be like, oh, no, we're down. We're going to bring these opportunities back up? No, I don't know about that. But I think they will think, put it a second thought next time. You know, just being a little more forthcoming, I think with our community, like, don't do that, right? Because we ride and we support and we spend our money where we feel valued. And the minute that we don't feel valued, it's like, whoa. And I think it's time for us to really tap into that and really understand that our money has power.
I do too. And I think if you look back at the 1960s, when a lot of these sort of boycott type strategies, worked, Martin Luther King Jr. and so many of the other civil rights activists, they were fighting companies that were locally and regionally owned. And so, yeah, if you boycotted them for a month or 2 months, it really had a huge impact. I think now you're fighting companies that are just so globally interconnected that it become the way you fight them actually has to change. The strategy has to change. And I believe that if all of us will just disengage from consumerism, I mean, I'm telling you got a house full of stuff right now that you leave every single day to go trade your time for money to pay for all the stuff that's sitting in your empty house all day. It's asinine. We have got to disengage from the level of consumerism within the black community right now. The median household net worth for white families is $250,000. The median household net worth for black families is $40,000. It's a fraction. We have to reclaim our financial our we have to reclaim our freedom, and we do that through financial independence, which means that you might not be able to buy all the stuff that Target has. You don't need all that stuff anyway, so you certainly should be disengaging. All right, Tamara, I'm gonna get off my soapbox because everyone in my audience knows how much I just hate mass consumerism. I want to see us building wealth as a community. I want to see us saving money, buying real estate, investing our money. That's the kind of thing I want to see us doing. Maybe I can collaborate with the Buy Black God on something related to wealth building. That's what I would love to do next with you, tomorrow. So tomorrow, I know you all do some big events. You got some stuff coming up this year. So tell my audience about that. And then let's wrap up by just helping us understand the future of the Buy Black God, and some additional things that you want to do with the brand.
For sure. So we have some of our in-person events coming up. The first one is on April 5th at Nomad Wineworks in High Point. It's a networking social. There's an opportunity to come out, network, meet and greet. We really have a good time with those. Later in the summer, during Black Business Month, we have our Black is Beautiful Bridal Show, which will actually take place in Charlotte this year. I'm super excited about that. That show is an opportunity for Black wedding professionals to get together and promote their services. It'll be our fifth show, so it's something we really look forward to. And then just be Stay engaged with us, right? Connect with us on social media. We're on Facebook, we're on Instagram as the Buy Black Guide. Tag us in your posts. We love to share. If you're a Black business owner and you're looking for that additional exposure, we're here to help you. We have a great community that are just ready to support your business. I think that's pretty much it. You can visit buyblackguide.com if you're ever searching for Black-owned businesses in the triad. You can search through the categories. You can search via your zip code. And so what we do have coming, which I haven't really said this yet, but it's like an exclusive. We are actually in the process of creating a print version of the Buy Black Guide. When we first launched, that was a big question. Are you guys going to make this print? You're going to make it print? And I was like, we want to keep it digital. We're in a digital time. But over time, we've gotten more requests from like older generation, right? People that are like, I don't have no social media, but I do want to find Black-owned businesses. And so now we are launching our print version this year. So if you follow us on social media, you can stay up to date with that. Think of it like a Yellow Pages, but just like Black-owned businesses. So we're super excited about that.
I love that. I love everything that you're doing, Tamura. I've been a huge fan of yours. For my audience, I think what Tamura is accomplishing through the Buy Black God is you have no reason or excuse not to support a Black-owned business. I know a lot of times, even for myself in the past, I would have said, "Oh, well, I don't know a Black-owned business in that particular category." And I think now they've made that very easy. If you go to their website, stay engaged with the Buy Black God on Facebook and Instagram and just across the spectrum. I know you've got a group that you've created on Facebook where businesses can go post and sort of get the word out about what they're doing. So I think you're doing some great work. I went to your event last year at Nomad Wineworks. Great event, great opportunity. I'm all right. So fellas, if you're a guy and you're in my audience and you're listening to this segment, you should go to this event. I think for every male that was there had to be at least 10 women. Okay, so if you're a single young male looking to network, looking to get out, I'm telling you, this event that Tamara does at Nomad Wineworks is the place to be. It's where you want to be at. And
Thank
so
you, Alvin. I tell the guys to come out because
I
I'll be
will.
surprised when you come out. I'm like,
I will, because when I went last year, I was like, wow, okay. The ratio here is like 10 to 1. So I encourage you to support that event. And not just because so many beautiful women, but because you also just want to support Tamora's organization. And Tamora, maybe you and I can collaborate again in August on some event through Eat Drink Triad to support one of the many Black-owned restaurants that we have here in the region. But you're always welcome to come back here, plug the organization, plug what you're working on, plug the events. Thank you for your inaugural visit. So grateful to finally have you on. And to my audience, so grateful for you. Thank you for locking in with me. Make sure you stay tuned to WTOB because that is where the Locked In Show broadcasts every Sunday morning. But if you happen to miss me there, hopefully you're subscribed to the podcast. You can always download that on Spotify, Pandora, Apple, wherever you like to get your favorite podcast, you can always lock in there. And until next time, y'all stay locked in.
The executive producer of the Locked In podcast is Algernon Cash for WGC. The associate producer is Tim Beeman for Such and Such Media. This podcast is copyrighted and cannot be reproduced without express written consent of WGC.